Hello, and welcome to episode 8 of the Higher Frequency Podcast. I am your host, Big John, and I thank you for joining us. Before we begin, I'd like to, as always, start off by giving all honor, praise, and glory to the Most High. And I thank Him for making it possible for me to be here today to be able to record and share this episode with you guys. Also, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome our new listeners hailing from Australia, New Zealand, and Kenya as well. I'd like to take a moment to thank each of you folks for taking the time to check out our podcast, and hope that you find it informative and entertaining. And again, just thank you for taking the time out, and we hope that you stick with us and help be a part of watching us grow. And with that said, what we're going to do on this episode is we're going to get into something that I've recently experienced up here in the Pacific Northwest, in particular here in Western Oregon. Of course, we're currently still in the middle of winter, and in some parts of the country, it's been a little bit warmer than usual. Up here is no different. Right now we're currently in the mid 50 degrees Fahrenheit. And then we've had other periods in which, it's been colder than usual, as it was the case, recently, with a situation in which we had an ice storm come through in our neck of the woods, where it got down into the teens. And that's, the situation in which I'm going to, share with you on this episode. And that's exactly why I call it the title I gave it, which was 8 days of frozen darkness. Recently, a few weeks back, we had, an ice storm come through, and I'm going to share that story and the experiences that, that befell us, during that period of time. And we'll just go from there and see what you guys think of that. And if you'd like to share your experiences over the winter, feel free to leave a message at the Higher Frequency PC at gmail.com. That's our email address, because we know that people all over the United States have experienced some form of effects of cold weather. And feel free to share your experiences with us, and that way we can kind of get an idea of what's going on out there with our listeners and what they're experiencing. But nonetheless, we're going to get into this episode and share the experiences that I've encountered, and we'll start from there. So I'll take you back, I would say, about 3 weeks ago, which would put us about mid-January. Somewhere in that neighborhood. And in a nutshell, what happened was we were here in Western Oregon, and we had been given a forecast that we were going to experience some cooler temperatures than usual, with the potential of some power outage because of the ice storm that came through. Now, mind you, we had not experienced an ice storm up this way since 2016. So in any case, I'll take you back to that Friday, which was the day before the ice storm hit. Well, some friends of ours, of myself and my wife, that go to church with my wife, they had previously asked us to babysit their 2-year-old, little Gracie, and they are friends of the family, and the parents were actually going on a cruise down in Florida, and it was going to be a week-long cruise. So we had already made arrangements with them to babysit baby Gracie for 7 days while they went out and enjoyed their cruise. And it just so happens that after the first day that they left, which was on that Saturday, that evening, that Saturday evening, that's when the ice storm came through, and we wound up losing power. And so, little known to us at the time that it would be a power outage for the amount of time that it wound up being. So, in any case, so the first night the baby is here, we lose power. And it wound up being a situation in which it got down into the mid-teens. Of course, so it's my wife, myself, our dog, Odie, our cat, Blue, and little baby, Gracie. And so during that stretch of time, my wife and little baby, Gracie, they slept in the room. We had no power, of course. We didn't have any generator. Excuse me. And so we had to make do with what we did have, like anyone else. We did have some candles. We had some service on the phone. Internet was kind of spotty. And so the first couple of days there, my wife had decided, okay, well, we're going to head for the church because at least they still had power at the time. The church is fairly close to our house. But after being there for about half the day, the church too went out of power. So during that ice storm, you had trees that literally froze over. You had, maybe about a half inch of ice covering all the trees in the area. And you could hear and in some cases see either tree branches or entire trees snapping and falling over. And this went on all over the place. You had transformers that had blown. The town, if you look at the roads, it was basically just it looked like a sheet of glass. But the branches on trees were bent completely back, you know, into different wonky shapes. I took a couple of photos after the storm to kind of really digest the magnitude of how bad the situation was in terms of the damage that the ice had caused. Our porch was frozen over with about a half an inch of ice, so we couldn't even leave off our porch without being extremely careful. It made it difficult for even our dog to be able to go out and do his business. And by no means is this a poor me or, have pity for us type of thing. I mean, we weren't experiencing anything different than anyone else in our area was experiencing. So it was just a matter of adjusting to the circumstances that were in front of us. And so, as I mentioned, my wife and baby went over to the church. I stayed here with the pets because someone had to watch them. And so after the power went out at the church, my wife had decided, her and I had spoken on the phone. We decided, okay, well, she's going to head back here. And we were able to communicate with some people who live close by, and they were able to offer us to hang out at their place, once the ice had started to melt a little bit and it was a little bit easier to maneuver around and be able to go for short distances. So once the ice started melting, which was about that Monday, Tuesday, I believe it was, we started to get some rain here, which warmed things up a little bit. And made it easier to maneuver around. And so some other friends of ours had invited us to come over there, and we'd be able to eat and have warm food and kind of warm up and stuff like that. So we kind of commuted back and forth. It was nothing more than about a 5-minute drive from our house. During the process, as the week had gone along, the temperature stayed roughly around 30, 35 degrees Fahrenheit. So we were able to kind of maneuver around somewhat better, but we still had no power. And it was one of those situations to the point that the local electric company had an extremely difficult time trying to restore power because of all the trees and tree branches that were down. So they had to kind of piece it together one by one and kind of survey each neighborhood and get an assessment of how much damage there were and come up with a game plan to try to restore power to people. So in some areas, they had power that kind of flickered off and on for a while. One of the areas on the east end of town, which is like a major shopping area and commerce area in town, there was some serious damage with some trees that were down, transformers that were blown, and a lot of the electric grid ran through that section of town, the eastern part of town. So the electric company had decided that they needed to work on that first, that area, in order to be able to establish service to the majority of the population that was on that eastern side of town, who was without power. It had to be a process, and this was not going to be by any means an overnight fix. So nonetheless, it wound up being a thing where we just all had to have patience. And a situation like that, you know, there are varying degrees of patience. Some people, unfortunately, in the world we live in nowadays, you know, this short attention span, instant gratification society that we live in, some folks had more patience than others. And so there was some overreaction. In some cases, you know, some panic. And, you know, we're all humans, so people react to different things different ways. So, I mean, it was what it was. I mean, what are you going to do? But even on when we looked on Facebook and we looked at the page for the local electric company, you know, they kind of kept us up to date as best as they could initially in terms of the progress that they were making. You had some people who were responding on the page who didn't feel like they were getting their questions answered quickly enough, or they didn't feel like they were being told all the information. You had some people that went so far as to go the conspiracy theory route. Oh, they're trying to hold out on us and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, one thought that went through my mind as I was reading some of these comments in which some of the people were talking about suing the electric company or writing their congressperson because they didn't feel like they were being given the proper amount of information. And, you know, it became apparent that some people, at least to me, it became apparent that some people have a very difficult time handling tough times. And I apologize for the background noise. That's our cat, Blue, who's trying to get into the house, but I'm trying to keep the noise to a minimum as I'm recording this. So he's fine. It's sunny outside. He's in no danger. He's on the porch. He's just a little anxious, if you will. So we'll be getting to him in a minute as soon as I finish recording. But he's just fine. anyways, so... It got to the point where the local electric company had to recruit the help of other work crews from outside of the area, from other parts of the state, and even a couple from out of state to help with the process of restoring power and everything like that. And as I said, it was a massive job because of the amount of people who were without power. And the areas that were damaged, you had down power lines all over the place. even up as far as Portland, which is about 2 hours north of us, there was a story that had come out about a family that had encountered a down power line. And unfortunately and sadly, all except one little baby did not make it because of, from what I had read, one of the parents touching the power line and perished, unfortunately. The wife tried to save him. And she didn't fare much better, the only one that survived was the baby, and that's because there was a bystander who was able to recover the baby and get that child to safety. So we had heard all kinds of stories up this way, and it was, like I said, the degrees varied in terms of the severity of safety. And, you know, by no means do I make light of that. It's just when something like that is going on, there's a lot of moving parts, and, you know, things can go in 100 different ways. People have a tendency to speculate on certain things. It can be a mess, and this incident was no different. For us. And so we'll fast forward a little bit up until I'd say about the middle of the week, where we did get some rain. Some of the ice started to melt away a little bit. As I mentioned, we were able to move around, and the people who had allowed us to come over to where they were at their home and be able to get warm food and things like that, they just happened to have an extra generator that they allowed us to borrow. And, we were able to, with some help, get that back here to the house, excuse me, so that we could at least have an opportunity to try to save our food. We used the generator to connect our refrigerator to and have a chance to keep our food cold, to save the meat that and everything that was in our freezer and stuff like that. These are some of the things that you have to account for in situations like that when you have power outages. We were able to tie that down and keep it running with gasoline. And in a situation like that, you need to have clear gas, which was extremely difficult to find in this area because a lot of people that had generators or who were trying to fuel their vehicles and whatnot were all looking for the same thing. They were all looking for clear gas. And so the majority of, well, at least all the gas stations in town here where we are, had all run out of clear gas, to run their generators. So, that became a problem. And so, we called outside of the town into the, outlying areas and, none of the gas stations immediately had clear gas. In fact, a couple of the gas stations that were open actually had to shut down because they ran out of fuel altogether. So the person that had let us borrow the generator, you know, had suggested, okay, well, you might want to try premium gas and use that for the generator, and just once you're done, just kind of burn that off, and that way, you know, we can just kind of, it makes it easier for him to clean it out or whatever else he needs to do once we're done with that. And so we were able to get our hands on some premium fuel and be able to maintain the generators actively running so that we're able to kind of warm the house up a little bit and things like that. So it was a very, very crazy week. Little Gracie was just fine. You know, she's a pretty happy baby, so, you know, she didn't get upset or anything like that. She was in good spirits the entire time. My wife, she kept things together. She did a great job. I, you know, during the nights when we were here, as I mentioned, her and the baby would sleep in the bedroom with, you know, a bunch of blankets and things like that to keep warm. And I would stay in the living room and basically slept on the couch and tried as best as we could to keep warm. And so, as we said, you know, we didn't, like, complain or fuss or anything like that, because that would have done absolutely nothing to help the situation. It helps no one. So we just simply made the best of it, like anyone else would. And so, and then by the time we hit, I believe it was that following Saturday, the parents had got back into town. They came to pick the baby up, and they went on home, and I guess they had power where they were. They lived a little bit outside of town, so at the time we just didn't have a means to get out that far. But in any case, it was the following Sunday night in which we actually had power restored. And I'd like to take a moment to give my thanks to the local electric company for restoring service. And all of the people that came from out of town that helped them, assisted them, and did as best as they could to keep us informed of what was going on and which areas they were working on to restore power and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, it couldn't have been easy for them, because you had a lot of these people who were away from their families, from the areas that they came from to help work and get power restored here locally. So I'd like to give thanks to them. They know who they are. I'd also like to give thanks to the people who were able to assist us with the generator and helping us out with the chargers to be able to, the portable chargers, so we can be able to keep our power on our phones, so that we can be able to communicate with people and things like that. They all know who they are. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, sometimes it's not until you lose something like electricity that really makes you take a step back and realize the things in life that we take for granted, like the ability to take a warm shower, or to be able to wash dishes, or to be able to run your washing machine and do laundry, things like that. You know, you don't realize sometimes, you know, what you have available that people take for granted every day. Sometimes we don't realize how fortunate we are until things like that are gone. And I guess that's one of the most important things I've learned throughout that experience, was that, you know, it really gives you a different perspective on things in life that we take for granted. And it's not until you go through something like that that it really hits home. And like I said, if you're not able to change your perspective after something like that, I don't know what to tell you. what I can say is that I've experienced personally an extended power outage once before, but this is years ago, back when I lived in Florida, back in 1992, when I went through Hurricane Andrew. And that situation was in the middle of the summer. Well, actually, late summer, late August. And the difference being is that at that time of the year, it's like mid-90s, I would say like 95 degrees temperature Fahrenheit, with 100% humidity. And during that storm, it was myself, my father, and my sister that were living together. And we were on the opposite end of the county from where the hurricane actually touched down. It actually hit Homestead and destroyed an Air Force base. After experiencing that, you know, because we had lost power for a week when that storm hit. And it's a whole different thing where you kind of have to, first of all, we had a gas stove, so we were able to cook up all the meat and everything before the storm hit. That way, you know, if the power did go out, then we'd at least be able to have an opportunity to have cooked food to eat. And I'm glad we did that because that's exactly what wound up having to happen. You know, we did lose power for a week and they had to go block by block to restore power. So I had experienced extended power loss before. So that was nothing new. And I kind of drew on that experience to kind of maintain mental focus and just try to endure as best as we could, given the circumstances. So the difference between the two situations is, to me, it's a lot easier to get blankets and try to keep warm during the middle of the winter when there's a power outage, as opposed to being in a situation where you're out of power in late summer where it's plus 90 degrees Fahrenheit and you're trying to figure out a way to cool off. It's two different types of situations. It to me, it just seems easy to try to be able to stay warm with a bunch of blankets. Neither circumstance is fun to go through. I guess it comes down to just how you look at it. So that, in a nutshell, like I said, is what we experienced a few weeks back with the ice storm. And know at this time, as of the time of this recording, the vast majority of people in the area now have had power restored. And so we wish nothing but the best for those people who've endured, because there's also people in situations like that who have health issues, who have to try to make adjustments on the fly and things like that. And, you know, so we wish them nothing but well wishes and the best in their situations, as well as people in other parts of the country who have experienced adversity or setbacks because of cold weather or blackouts or what have you, and things like that. It's not fun to go through. And the only thing you can do, you can only do the best you can with the situation that you're given. And so for those who are experiencing currently weather phenomena in which they have to experience power outage, would like to just tell those people to stay encouraged, you know, rally together, lean on the Most High to get you through, and just don't give up. And that's about all I can offer on that. So on that note, this will conclude this episode of the High Frequency Podcast. I thank you for joining us. I thank you for hearing our story here. And I encourage you guys to just take one day at a time, be kind with each other. And that's something that I try to practice every day myself. I'm not always the best at it, but I do the best I can. And, you know, use each day that God grants you and take it as another opportunity to do better than you did the day before. So with that said, I thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Higher Frequency Podcast. Take care.